You are listening to audio from Victory Church. To check out more resources or to support the work of the ministry, visit victorybelleton.org.
Well, good morning. I am Pastor Casey. If I haven't met you before, it's good that you are here to worship with us this morning, and I'm thankful you're here with us this morning. We have been going through the Sermon on the Mount, which is a series of sermons. It was actually one big, long sermon for Jesus, but we are looking at parts of Jesus's sermon in a series here at Victory. So we're going to continue in this series this morning. And in chapter 6, Jesus is comparing the hypocrisy of the religious leaders of the time to what it should be like as Jesus followers and disciples. And in chapter 6, Jesus talks about three ways that the religious elite of the time would practice righteousness for all to see. And these three practices that he goes over in chapter 6 are giving to the needy, praying, and fasting. I'm primarily going to talk about the first thing, giving to the needy, this morning, because in the following weeks, we're actually going to have sermons devoted to prayer and to fasting. So I'm going to speak mostly this morning on the first act of righteousness that he describes as giving to the needy. So if you would turn with me to chapter 6 of Matthew. I believe I have this scripture on the screen as well, but it'll be Matthew 6, 1 through 5. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men, to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So, when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. So here Jesus is telling his followers, his crowd of disciples, that don't be like those religious leaders who say, hey, look at me. I'm giving to the needy. I'm fasting. I'm praying. And sound the trumpet for all to see. Instead, he's saying what? Do this as part of your private life. Some Christians, in my opinion, I think take this a little too far, and they read this chapter and say, I can never be noticed for my giving. Like, don't put my name on the plaque of donors at that ministry. We're always supposed to give in private, or we will not be rewarded for it. But let's go back to the verse one. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed. To be noticed. So there is what we like to call a motive. We all have motives in our lives. Motives are the reasons you do something. And motive is what comes into play here. The problem in this scripture is not that someone happened to notice someone being generous and giving. The problem is the fact that they were doing it to be noticed. There's a difference. In Proverbs 21:2, it says, every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs and examines the heart. How many of you guys like to be right? Yeah, I like to be right too, I'll be honest. We have a lot of people in our home that like to be right. we're breaking those generation curses one at a time. But yeah, so every man's way is right in his own eyes. But the Lord weighs. Think about a weigh or a weight. But he weighs and examines the heart. The heart is what is at play here in Matthew chapter 6. And throughout scripture, the heart is mentioned a lot of times. Mindy did an excellent Bible class teaching last Sunday about being pure in heart. And those who are pure in heart will see God. And when we have a pure heart, the heart, which is being referred to here, is the spiritual center. I love the definition she gave last week, so I'm going to use the same one. It refers to your spiritual center. It is where thoughts, desires, will, understanding, and your character reside. And that made a lot of sense to me. So when God is saying he examines your heart, he examines your thoughts, your will, your motives, your inner being as a believer. These scriptures warn us of the temptation to do things in order to be noticed. Don't practice your righteousness for all to see, but be pure in heart in your motives to bring glory and honor to your God, your Father. Giving to the poor is a concept that is definitely, I would say it makes the top five themes of the Bible. Right now, I'm doing a Bible in a year plan, and I don't know if ever any of you have ever done one of those, but in mine, it gives me an Old Testament, what they call a wisdom, like from a Proverbs or Psalms. They give me some Old Testament every day to read. For the perfectionists out there in the crowd, I just want to tell you it's okay to read the Bible in 16 months instead of 12. Okay? I mean, don't give up on the thing because you're falling behind. That's not the point. Anyway, so I'm reading the Bible in what will turn into more like 16 months instead of 12. But nevertheless, in the Bible, from Old Testament to the wisdoms, to the prophets, to the New Testament, the theme of giving, poor, oppressed, orphan, widow, downcast, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. And my ears lately, as I've been doing this reading and listening to this reading, just get tickled. Like, it's like my ears are being tickled every time there it was again. Oh, now I'm in Matthew and there it is again and again and again. And even in that hard book of Job, it's also in there as well. So this theme is so important to the Father's heart. So important. And so here, he is doing a correction to how they were doing it. A verse that's been on replay in my mind is actually from James 1:27. And it says, religion that our God, our Father, accepts as pure is this: to look after the orphans and widows in their distress. And be what? Be pure in this world. To be unstained. To be not polluted by the world around us. So I think about, what are we supposed to be as believers in Jesus Christ, as followers? What is God our Father asking of us? There's three things he mentions in this particular verse. It's to care for the orphans and the widows in their distress and keep ourselves from being polluted by the world. Culturally speaking here, at this time, with their ears hearing this, a widow was a woman whose husband had died. And widows were poor. They were left to care for themselves. And as well as orphans. Orphans are children whose parents have died or they've been misplaced and have no mom and dad to care for them. So they were seen as the poor, as the needy of this time. In our culture today, a widow might not necessarily be poor. Perhaps she was left with a, you know, good, you know, 401k from her husband. She's not necessarily poor in funds. But you know what? Widows need care. Widows might need financial advisory after their husbands die. Widows might need you to come over and haul big bags of salt down to their softeners. Widows might need you to shovel their driveways in the winter. Widows might need different types of things that we aren't supposed to neglect. It's not just money that we're talking about here. Our heart should be to those who are without. And if that is without the ability to shovel their driveway, then that's where we need to step in. God honors those who give for the right reasons, the pure heart reasons. We're going to go to Mark next, Mark's chapter 12, verses 41 through 45. Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 45. Here, I love this story because Jesus uses a widow as the example of giving. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, she put in everything. All she had to live on." I love this example because I think it really convicted my heart of a problem that's been in my own life, as well as I believe in a lot of the American church's life, is that American Christians, myself included, we love to give out of what is left over. We love to like have our checklists of like, well, this year I want to update my countertops and expand my patio, and we plan our vacations in the summer, and we put all these funds away for all these different things that we have on our checklist. And if the Lord happens to convict our heart with what is left over, we will give to it to a good cause. And that is kind of the issue that Jesus is bringing to the forefront here with this widow's giving. It's like, yes, the wealthy gave a bunch of money, but they did it in their leftover. It didn't hurt them one bit, right? There was no sacrifice to their giving. But the widow gave it all because she felt the conviction to do so. And it cost her something. It cost her something. In the American church, we have a hard time with this concept, this struggle between selfish ambition and sacrificial giving. Giving to the needy should be a consistent part of a believer's life. Like when you look at the themes of the Bible, it should be a consistent part of our lives. Jesus teaches again about stewardship, poor, needy, money, and the gospel's so much. You can't ignore it. I dare you to go home this week and read Matthew. Just read a few chapters of Matthew every night before you go to bed. And do it kind of like you would when, you know, teachers would say, "What is the main idea of this text?" Go and read Matthew and then decide, what are some of the main ideas, the main concepts of Matthew? And I'm not saying this is the primary one. I'm saying this makes the list, the top. It is a theme of the Gospels. If we would have our hearts broken for the needy, and we would do it with what we're talking about, the right motive, oh my goodness, we could literally change the world. We could change the communities around us. If we spent as much time planning and dedicating funds to the orphan and the widow and the needy and the grieving and the distressed as we do on our own personal gains, we would change our communities. And I looked up a few statistics on some of these areas this week. There are 153 million children orphaned worldwide. There are 400,000 in foster care in the United States. There are 11,000 in foster care in Minnesota. There are 27 million people worldwide who are victims of human trafficking. There are 45 million kids worldwide who suffer from extreme malnutrition. At least 5 million a year die of starvation. So the need is great, right? We know the need is great among us. In Galatians 6:9, it says, "Let us not become weary in doing good. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." If you care about this, if you care about the poor and the needy and the oppressed, if you care about this, you're going to get burned. You will at some point grow weary. This is a hard calling to care about. And at some point, that's why Galatians, he chooses to say that to us. Don't grow weary. I know there are days when you're going to care about this and you're going to sacrifice for it and you're going to put yourself out there and you're going to give. And you at some point are going to get burned. However that looks like. And God is saying, keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. The heart and the motive behind the why is what chapter 6 is challenging us to look at. And when we look at the spiritual center of our lives, it is where our thoughts and our desires, our will, our character resides. And what is the reason to give? Why do we give? Why do we care about this? Well, I gave you one already. Because it's the heart of the Father. Because it's like a consistent theme throughout Scripture. Because Jesus teaches on it in red letters in your Bible. That's the primary reason. Because it's God's heart, so it should be our heart as well, right? Another reason we do this is because what Jesus did for us. We talked about in Sunday school this morning. We've been reconciled. We've been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have an abundance of resources. Anyone say amen? We have an abundance of resources. And I'm not talking about physical things, which we have so many in America. I'm talking about the spiritual reserve that we are given when we are a born again believer in Jesus Christ. We have in our spiritual center, in our hearts, we have the Holy Spirit. And the Father says, ask and it will be given. Right? Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. And so we have this resource, this well. If we only knew, like truly grasp the type of resource we have, we wouldn't be afraid to give. we won't be afraid to give because we know that our resources are unlimited in the kingdom of God. I can say that I have a rich daddy, right? And he's in heaven and he's full of resources. And I'm his daughter and he's given them all to me. So when I step out in faith and give sacrificially, I can do so without fear because I know that my Heavenly Father cares for me and he will replenish those resources, right? He is an endless supply of resource. So it's the Father's heart. We have an unlimited amount of resource to do this out of. And we get to respond out of obedience to the Father when we do this. I was reflecting on last week we had a Walking Taco fundraiser for the youth. And we're sending the youth to San Francisco this summer with Youth with a Mission. And I was reflecting on the importance of mission experiences in the life of this body and myself. And I'm like, it's so, so important for these youth to go out and experience the world. Like, it's transformational. Like, the reason why I do a lot of things I do is because of mission experiences I had. It's really hard to actually have a broken heart for something if you don't see it firsthand. I'm guilty of this. I don't understand what it's like to lose a spouse yet. I don't. So I can't meet you in that depth of pain until I've walked it, right? Just like anything in life, you don't get it unless you've really seen it or felt it in your own eyes. And so I thought about how important it is to send these youth. If you are still contemplating on sending your youth to the mission trip this summer, this is my plug in the middle of my sermon. But it fit. I felt like it fit. You send them. You won't regret it. Will it be uncomfortable for them? Probably. Will it be a sacrifice for them? Yes. Will they have to take off work time? Yeah. All of that is true. But I can tell you that I didn't have a heart for orphans until I went to Oaxaca and saw little children. A lot of them had disabilities. And they needed a mom and dad. And I didn't have a heart for the trafficked until I was in a brothel in Bangkok and saw girls that were younger than me selling themselves. So send your kids on the youth mission trip. When you experience the heartbreak of the needy, the poor, the distressed, out of that you will respond for the right reason, the pure reason, not the reason to say, hey, look at me, I'm doing all these things on Snapchat. No, for the pure reason of helping the needy because God has said to do it. It should be a daily continuation, consistent part of a Christian's life. We usually can examine the desires of our hearts by asking a few questions. A few questions that go like this. What do you spend your time thinking about? Again, that heart is part of your thoughts, your will, your emotions. What do you spend your time thinking about? There's a few scriptures I jotted down. Proverbs 4:32 says, be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life. Think about that for a second. If you struggle with lust and it stays up here spinning in your mind, what happens next? If you struggle with an addiction and it runs up here all day, what happens next? Be careful what you think about because your thoughts run your life. So my question is, do you ever think about the poor? Does it ever cross your mind? Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things that are above, 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 not on earthly things. Set your minds on what is good, what is righteous, what is holy, what is pure. Focus on Jesus and his heart. Because Jesus' heart, God our Father's heart, will be our heart when we focus on it, right? And when we walk in the Spirit. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So flee from youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So what do we spend our time thinking on? That is a big, big, big one. What do you think about? And has your heart and your thoughts, do your heart and your thoughts reflect the Father's for the needy, for the poor, for the disadvantaged? Number two, what do we spend our time actually doing? Now I know we have jobs, we have responsibilities, we have families and things that we're called to steward. And yes, that is all good. But most people would say, well, I don't have the time to volunteer. I don't have the time to give or to shovel the widow's driveway. I don't have time to go to the food shelf in Tracy. I don't have time to do that. I'm already just swamped. Does anyone feel swamped by the world around them? I mean, I know I can be guilty of saying that. I'm just so, so busy. But if we really, really, really actually look at our daily lives, you probably are in one of two camps of people. You either spend 6 to 7 hours of screen time by scrolling through social media, listening to music, listening to podcasts, texting, calling. Or if you hate screens, you maybe spend your time watching a lot of TV and reading books and doing entertainment. Something like that, right? We fill our times with the things we like, what we enjoy. And there's nothing wrong with that. Jeez, please continue to play basketball and go golfing. But if you never, ever give of your time and your talents and your treasure for the needy, the poor among us, that's a good reflection that your heart has not been convicted for this, right? The third question is, what do I spend my money on? Usually you can measure what is important to you by your calendar, what fills your calendar, and opening up your bank account or your checking account. What do you spend your money on? Matthew 6:22-21 says, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where the moth and the rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what do we spend our treasure on? Where does it go to? Now we have needs and we have our own things, but does it reflect a heart of someone that cares about the needy among us? It's a good question to evaluate. 1 Timothy 6:17-19 says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up a treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Oh, I love that. Oh, there's a lot of nuggets in there. So don't be arrogant in your wealth, because what is uncertain? If you live in this world, you know that. Bitcoin's up, it's down, it's all over. Your retirement up and down. It crashes, it grows. sometimes all of our appliances break at one time. Anyone have that happen? It's like the fridge goes out and tells the washer to do it too, you know? So our wealth is uncertain, right? But our hope, and it is God who richly provides us, richly provides for us to do good deeds generously. And we will have the reward in heaven. Our reward is not going to be on this earth. That's why we read earlier, don't grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary, because you're not going to get recognition on this earth. But the Father wants to bless your pure heart in heaven. Sometimes we can be guilty of thinking these are check boxes to cross off. I've done that. So I've been like, oh, I have a heart for the orphan. I want all the children. And so then we will do something pretty significant, pretty sacrificial for the orphan. But then it's almost like we give ourselves like, okay, check. I did it, you know. But that's not the heart of the Father either. Like, my heart should be one of the Father's, which is great. You did something sacrificially for the orphan. So now what else? What's next? It's not a one-time checkbox. It's a way of living. So it's a posture that says, okay, Jesus, who are hurting among us and how can we help? That means I'm never off the hook. Oftentimes at funerals, we really hear about the hidden things that an individual did. If I'm not personally grieving the loss of a family member or someone close, if I happen to be at a funeral that is not someone that I'm just like trying to bite my lip and not cry the whole time, I like to sit there and listen to the stories that are told at a funeral. Because you will hear things. People will come up and say, oh, he was so generous. He secretly funded our FFA program at the school for years. Or you'll hear things like, oh, you guys have no idea, but when we were on our last rope and couldn't make our rent, he paid it for us. And I love hearing those things because that's exactly what the heart of this scripture is in Matthew, that those things were done in secret. The people at the funeral typically, not always, we're not always pure in heart, but typically they did it for the right reasons. They did it in private. And people didn't even know about it until they passed away. And that's the heart of this. So church, where is your heart in your private life? What do you think about? What do you dwell on? What do you spend your time doing? And what do you spend your money on? The purpose of this is not to like condemn us. The purpose of this is to align our heart with the Father's heart. So if you give generously and you give out of the first fruits and then you give to the needy and you give of your time and your talents and you do these things with a pure heart, then out of the overflow of our generous Father, then you can upgrade your countertops or do whatever you want to do. But so often we do it the opposite way. So spending your money on things is not wrong. Money is nor good nor evil. It's what your heart does with it. So God is asking us to first give. First, be generous. Give out of the first fruits. And he's going to bless your socks off so that you can, I don't know, update your countertops or do whatever you want to do. Go on your vacation. But it's a matter of the heart. Is giving to the needy part of your heart's desire? You could leave today and you could respond out of guilt. But guilt does not produce lasting fruit. It doesn't. godly conviction does. So I want us to reflect and ask God, God, change my heart. Convict my heart for what breaks yours. And then I will respond out of obedience to you. Because we've all done a guilt offering. I have. But they are not lasting. So today, I want to challenge us at the heart of the matter in Matthew 6. Give often. Give generously. Do it with a pure heart, and your reward will be in heaven. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you challenge us with these words from your sermon. Lord, I pray that they would convict our hearts, that we would just respond out of obedience to your word. God, and I pray that we would understand that we don't have to live, God, with a poverty mindset, but we get to live, Lord, with an abundance mindset because we have the Holy Spirit in us, because we have the resource within us. And so I pray we would go out and we would see with new, fresh eyes. Would you open our eyes to someone in need? And it doesn't have to be financial. Someone in need among us. Would you help us meet those needs, Lord? Would you convict our hearts to act out of obedience according to your will? Give us, Lord, this heart that breaks for those that you break for. God, and I pray that we'd have a richly blessed week ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you. Go in peace.